2-2.
Okay, David. Good morning, church. Good morning. And we give God the glory. He's risen. Now, we're doing a little bit of an Anglican thing there. When I say he's risen, you reply, he's risen indeed, yeah? Okay? All right, do you know what I mean? I am ekmegio, I am wider in relationship to churches. So I say he's risen, and you say he's risen indeed, yeah? Okay, easy now. Do you know what I mean? Let's say, right, all right. He's risen, and you say?
He's risen indeed.
That's right. Yes, he is. Father, we just welcome you here today. As we come to the Word of God, we say, more of you and less of us. We say, Father, we want your word to be fresh and new and open and transparent. We've seen and we've heard this message in our lives over and over again, but there's something new that you want to say to us. There's something more of your character, something more of your wisdom, something more of your love that we can experience, that we can understand, that we can embrace. And so, Father, we just pray, only do the things you can do in this meeting. Amen and amen. We're in a series, and I don't know if some of you have seen it. I'm in a small series called At His Table. Last message we shared, At His Table, we are cleansed. And today's message is At His Table, we are restored. At His Table, we are restored. It's a massive and a beautiful understanding of what God's table is. This is a table in front of you. Yes, it's not condign with me. You got that, thank you. Do you know what I mean? It's not any of those dynamics. It's a table. It's a fricative table, but it's a table nevertheless. Should we go to the Word of God? We've got two passages that we're going to deal with this morning, and we're going to move between the two. Something in the old and something in the new. Something for now and something for the future. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're also going to be in Matthew 26 verse 17. So 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1, and then we're also going to be in Matthew 26 verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1. David asks, is anyone else left in the house of Saul to whom I could show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David and the king and said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king answered, is anyone still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered, there is the son of Jonathan, he's lame in both feet. Further down in verse 6, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed and paid him honor. Matthew 26, 17. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him the teacher says, my appointed time has come. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. The disciples did as Jesus had directed him, and he prepared for the Passover. When he came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to themselves, one after another, surely, you don't mean me, Lord. Jesus replied, etc. Something in the old and something in the new. Without no doubt, right across the world, wherever you are, in any location, in any country, think about it, one constant furniture is in every country, in every location, in any part of the world, it's a table. Oh, think about it. You can go to Peru and you can find tables. Tables of all shapes and sizes. Square tables, low tables, high tables, tables that you can stand up on while you're working, tables that you can lift up, tables that you can sit at. There's table all around the world. more things happen at tables that we give credit for. You can fall in love at a table. Some of you have already done that. So you can make a business contract at a table. You can raise a family at a table. I said, you could raise a family at a table. I said, you could raise a family at a table. Not at a TV, friends. 80% of the what we've read, there's an article said several years ago, but 80% of Britons do not sit at the table anymore with their children. Oh, no condemnation, I've been there as well. At tables, all around the world, big things can happen at tables. Table talk, table chat, table relationships, tables. You can have a good fight at a table. Okay, some of you have already done that already. Do you know what I mean? You can bang your fist at a table. You can chuck a table across the floor and say, no more. You could do a lot of things at tables. Tables are a reoccurring theme in the Bible over and over again. Let me talk about a time that I was invited to a table. Yeah. I was invited to come along to a table. It was an elderly couple in the church. They were Caribbean heritage. They invited me to come along. They were a married couple, and the husband went to surgery, and they invited me to come along to invite. So I came along. You can imagine. Now, just use your holy imagination here, friends. The table is spread. We got food. We got hardo. We got rice and peas. We got curry goat. We got jerk chicken. We got the works. Translate it in your own language. Do what you need to do. Yeah. Okay, so the table is spread. I've been invited in. She said, come in. I said, this is fantastic. So I'm coming in. Both of them are there, so you can imagine they're sitting on this side. Husband and wife are sitting here. He's come back from his surgery. He's in a good position. He's sitting there. They're sitting there. I'm sitting here at the table. We sit down. As I take my seat at the table, I'm like, this is fantastic. They start talking about their lives. I'm like, okay, can you pass me the coleslaw? Fantastic. I'll have some more hard food. Thank you. Get a rice and peas. They're talking. We're chatting. We're communicating. As I can see, one table, one plate for him, one plate for her, one plate for me, but there's another table, there's another plate. For those of you at the back, you can't see, there's four plates, and there's three, and there's, whoops-a-daisy, that scared you, didn't it? I asked her, why is there an extra table? Why is there an extra plate, an extra seat at the table? I don't understand what you're doing. She said to me, well, don't you know, that plate's for Jesus. Oh. You know, you feel convicted when you're a Christian. Oh, what do you mean, my dear? That's an extra plate for Jesus at the table. I said to her, why do you do that? I put this extra plate to remind myself we should always be hospitable. Am I preaching God's word? That you should always have an extra seat at his table. There is an extra seat she put in place. So I'm sitting there, he's sitting there, she's got this extra seat at the table, and I feel God's presence while I'm there. I kind of slow down my eating, I kind of think, oh, hold on 1 minute, what's happening here? It's a traditional Caribbean home, we've got doilies, we've got ducks. You know, sometimes in a Caribbean home, you've got like a kind of living room where you've got sofas, and the sofa's covered with plastic over the top. To let you know that's for guests and not for you. At his table, we are restored. At his table. I'm sitting at the table. She puts this extra seat at the table. This is a running theme in this message. There is an extra seat for you at his table. Not your table, because your table is messy. Your table is not put together. Not your table. At his table, there is an extra seat at his table. The table of grace, the table of hope, the table of love, the table of renewal, the table of brand new things. At his table, there is restoration. There's wholeness. There's freedom. So where we see now at this table, I'm sitting there. Now, let me take it back to the scriptures so we're not out of context. What do we understand? Mephibosheth is this young man at 5 years old. 5 years old, he is the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan's father is Saul. These are major biblical characters. Now, Israel is in a war with the Philistines over and over again, and what we find, Saul dies in battle, Jonathan dies in battle, and now there's a crisis. Mephibosheth has been looked after by a nurse or looked after by a maid, if you want to put it across like that. And we see that in 2 Samuel 4 and 4. What do we know? As the Philistines begin to expand and begin to war and begin to win against Israel, this nurse begins to take Mephibosheth and she runs as fast as she can and she drops him. 5 years old and he's dropped. She was doing the best she can with what she had, but she dropped him. Sometimes life can drop you where you are. See, Mephibosheth couldn't control his environment. Mephibosheth was dropped into rejection. He was dropped into pain. He was dropped into disgrace. He was dropped into shame. He was dropped into disappointment. He was dropped into frustration. He was dropped into anger. He was dropped into embarrassment. He was dropped in cold dependency. He was dropped into fear. He was dropped into despair. He was dropped into tears. He was dropped into trouble. He was dropped into regret. He was dropped into disillusionment, and he was dropped out of luck. He was dropped. Sometimes life throws something to you and you feel dropped. Mephibosheth has dropped and he found himself in a disability situation. Interesting enough, in this text, we see David say, "Is there anyone left from Jonathan's house?" This is the outrageous grace of God, that actually God's love doesn't just love you, but it loves your children's children's children. Amen. Oh, can you hear me? Rumford, are you with me? When I'm talking about God's love, his love doesn't just love you, he loves your children's children's children. That is the outrageous love of God, that as I receive his love, my children receive his love, their children receive his love, and his love is the same yesterday, today, and for forever. At his table, you are restored. This is the message within this text of the good news of the death, resurrection, and burial of Jesus Christ, is that his love, his blood, is the same yesterday, today, and for. And it goes on and 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 on. More ons than you can say on. His love is so rich. His power, his blood is so pure that it flows. I'll take you back to the old to bring you to the new to say to you this. He loves you way before you knew yourself. So Jonathan says, as a sign of God's love, bring Mephibosheth back. I want to see this new covenant. A covenant is a promise that God has made with us, that he will forgive us from sins and he will bring us in. Jesus says at the table with the disciples, I've given you a new covenant. One that pours on and on and on. I do this because when you take communion, remember, when you take the blood of Jesus Christ, it pours on and on and on. So, what do we know? There's a new covenant with Jesus. There's a new promise that David extends out to Mephibosheth. You can come into this situation. And interesting enough, we see the same parallels with Jesus and Peter. What do we see? When Jesus is with Peter at the table, Jesus takes his clothes and he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever washed somebody's feet? My children, but anybody else's, you'd be lucky, baby. You'd be lucky. I'm not a fan of feet. I don't know about you, but you never know this church. You never really know who's in the house. But I wouldn't wash feet in a hurry. No way. Even in the ancient world, what you would find is washing feet was the lowest form of any kind of expression. You wouldn't wash your neighbor's feet. You would get a slave to wash feet, let alone that a disciple would wash somebody else's feet. So Jesus takes his basket, takes his water, and he begins to wash his feet. And what does Peter say to him? No, Lord, you can't wash my feet. No way. I'm unclean. Don't wash my feet. Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't be a part of me. What I love about Peter's phrase goes, well, if you're going to wash my feet, you might wash my hands and my head as well. I like it because he's so extreme. Jesus said, no, we don't need baths. That's okay. It's in the text, friends. We don't need no baths. We just need you to allow me to wash your feet. Isn't it powerful? Isn't it an image of the old and new? Mephibosheth was broken feet, but Jesus comes down in humility and washes broken feet and washes everybody's feet. Can you see the old and the new speaking to you now? You can come broken. You can come lame. You can come hurting. You can come broken. You can come limping. You can come whole. You can come confused. And I tell you what, Jesus can wash your feet in a way that no one else can. It's the old and new typology. David is a kind of typology of who Jesus is. What do I mean by that? He's an image. If you look at David's life, you'll see Jesus' life is an imprint of what Jesus will do. Are you with me this morning? Am I moving at a pace? So what do we see? We see Peter said, no, don't wash my feet. One thing I must say that's powerful, if you're going to receive the grace of God in the massive way, you must see yourself in the light of how God sees you. What does Peter say? I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. You can't come to me. You'd be surprised in today's society how people come to God actually telling him what to do. Uh-oh. You're not going to like me, but bang, bang, bang. Let me tell you something. Do you know how many people come to God and actually have a list for him of recommendations? And how he should run the universe and how he should operate. If you're going to receive God's grace, you must come as a sinner needing God's grace. When I came to Jesus, I could feel, I could sense my inadequacy before him. I could see that I'm not worthy, that I don't deserve your grace, I don't deserve your love, I don't deserve anything, but yet I'm a sinner saved by grace. What do we see here? We see a lame person, we see a broken person. We see two people, a parallel, a Mephibosheth and a Peter, both needing feet care in God's presence. Over again, we see broken people made new. God can do more with lives yielded to him than we can give credit for. What do we see? We see Mephibosheth was a challenge to David's authority. Why is that? Because Mephibosheth was next in line, but he was on the run in Lodabar. So when David asked Mephibosheth to come, well, Mephibosheth's like, well, actually, if I come, you might destroy me. That's not a good idea. What do we see about Peter? Peter will be the next pioneer Christian leader to birth the church. It's interesting how God takes the least likely to do the Almighty. He could take others, what other people would look down on and question on, and he could take their lives and rearrange it in ways you can't imagine. God can take the least likely and do the all. So what do we see? We see David then repeating back in verse 7 to Mephibosheth, don't be afraid. I want to show you kindness. I want to restore to you what God has given you. Restore to you your kindness, restoration, healing. This is the beauty of this relationship. Mephibosheth says this when he sees David. He says, why do you notice, and this is in verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed down and said to him, what do you want your servant? You should notice a dead dog like me. That's some dog talk again. Do you remember the last sermon about the Syrophoenician woman? What did she say to him? Even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the masters. Oh, come on, stay with me now. It's all linked. They are complimentary messages. Why would you take a dead dog like me? This is what Mephibosheth sees himself in that light. What did Peter say? Peter turned around and said, well, actually, I'm a sinner. Go away from me, Lord. What I love with this text is the power and the imagery of Mephibosheth. Now, I don't know how he walked to the table, but we're going to do a holy imagination. David is sitting there. David's sons are sitting there. David's army generals are sitting there. David's dignitaries are sitting there. David's historians are sitting there. David's priests are sitting there. They're all sitting there, all capable men, men of merit, men of exception, men of excellence. Thank you very much. These are men. And here's Mephibosheth. I'm Mephibosheth. Oh, sorry, you're Mephibosheth. No, we're Mephibosheth. Here he comes to the table. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine Mephibosheth coming to the table with a limp. Maybe with a bowl. Maybe with a swagger. I don't know. But he comes to God's table in his condition. And here are these men all seeing him coming to God's table. The table of grace. The table of hope. The table of love. The table of refreshing. Here comes Mephibosheth. He sits down at this table and he's sitting amongst all these distinguished men of note and ability and capability. He sits at the table. And what I love when he sits at the table is this wonderful truth, is when he sits at the table, he is absolutely equal when he sits at his table. Can you see his disability? Can you see his pain? Can you see his situation? No, it's gone at God's table. When you come to God's table, you are restored. All of your failures, all of your pain, all of your disabilities are removed at his table of grace, his table of love, his table of freedom, his table of renewal, his table. At his table, you can never be the same. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come as you are, broken, hurting, refused, rejected. Come to his table. By the way, friends, there's an extra seat at his table you can eat. When I'm talking about God's table, this table is brand new. This table is eternal. This table is fresh. This table is never any kind of table you ate before. The food is good. The hospitality is good. I'm telling you, at his table, Mephibosheth is equal with everybody there. This is the good news of God's gospel to us, is that at his table, you could be with distinguished individuals, great individuals, but you have a seat. Yes, you do. You have a seat. Sorry, if I'm excited about the gospel, I just can't contain it. You have a seat at his table. Who else was at the table? Jesus was at the table with the disciples. It's a reversal of what was done before. At the table with Jesus, they weren't men of distinguish. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. At the table of Jesus, who was there? There were somebody who's going to actually portray Jesus. But Jesus, God says he sets a table. He sets a table in front of my enemies. Uh-oh. At his table, you have a table of extinguished men. You have a table of men who don't have much at his table. But either way, whether you're Mephibosheth, whether you're Peter, whoever you are in the story, God has a table for you. A table of grace. Why don't you give him a round of applause for the extension? This table can give you peace. This table can give you wholeness. This table can give you healing. This table can give you reassurance. This table can change your life. I said, at his table, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. It'd be wrong of me not to make an invitation for you to come as to his table as you are. With every eye bowed and every head closed, this is invitation for you to receive eternal life. An invitation for you to say yes to Jesus. This table is good. This table is fresh. This table will change your life. I'm going to say this prayer, and you can say this prayer with me. If you mean it in your heart, you're entering to God's table. As I say this prayer, you repeat it. And from there, you enter into God's eternal grace. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I ask for your grace. Lord, forgive me. I believe you died and rose again. And I invite you into my heart today. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. Amen. If you've said that prayer and you meant that prayer, and you've taken a sample of his grace, please come and speak to Glenn and Mike and the leadership team. I'll be at the front. If you want more explanation of what it means to be at his table, there is an extended chair for you. There always has been an extended chair for you. However you see yourself, happy, sad, broken, crippled, unworthy, there was always a table for you. There was always space for you. There was always God's grace for you. Father, we just pray. For those of us who need a bit more of your grace, that you would meet us now. Those of us who have excluded ourselves from the table because they were dignitary, they were people that were extinguished, and they were the ones that had the space at God's table, but we didn't think we were good enough. I pray today, by the eyes of faith, we would say, yes, Lord, we can come, that we can receive. In your precious name, amen. We'd invite the worship team, to celebrate and to give God praise for what he's done. Friends, Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Jesus is alive, and he has died and rose again so you could be here eating with him eternally. And so, friend, when we go home at our tables at different places all around the world, remember, there's an extra seat. An extra seat for a guest, an extra seat for you to take on, an extra seat for you to invite someone. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Risen, he's risen, forever glorified. Risen, he's risen, King Jesus. King Jesus is alive. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Grave, where are you now? You've been overpowered. resurrected one.
Hallelujah.
Resurrected one. Shining like the sun. Breaking through our fears. Victory, victory is. Victory is here now. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, risen. Risen. He's risen. Forever glorified. He is risen. He's risen. King Jesus. King last time. Risen. He's risen. Forever glorified. Risen. He's risen. King Jesus. King Jesus is alive.
Well, amen. Thank you so much, Daniel. Did you appreciate that word?
Amen.
Let's give God glory. Let's give a round of applause. Amen. And the ending is always important. So if there's a need for response, please do that. Daniel's available. Ourselves will be available. Any of those you know, leaders-wise, just come talk. We'll pray with you. We'll be delighted just to help you take that next step. Father, we pray now as we dismiss, we pray blessing over each and every household represented here so that this day will be special. The fact that we've made time to be here just to say, Lord, we acknowledge Easter. We acknowledge your death and resurrection is a mark, Lord, of our faith and our trust in you. So dismiss us with your blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.